The week's cases for the week ending June 27th, 2025, by Alman Astor, LA County Public Defender's Office. Protective orders permitted only for victims named in the charges. A court is permitted to issue a protective order for 10 years barring any contact with a victim of certain enumerated crimes. Penal Code Section 136.2J1. What's a victim? There's a case saying that victim is super broad. Race, 18 Calat 5th, 211. This Court of Appeal disagrees with race, not because it's wrong, but because Penal Code Section 136.2 itself has been amended. The previous version of 136.2 said that the court could consider issuing an order barring contact with, quote, the victim, close quote. In 2018, Penal Code Section 136.2 was amended to say that the court could consider issuing an order barring contact with, quote, a victim of the crime, close quote. The Court of Appeal does an extensive analysis of this change and concludes that the court can bar contact only for victims named in the charge. Quote, therefore, the only victim of the Section 288.5 offense for which defendant was convicted, and the only person who can be protected by a protective order under Section 136.2I1 is TW, close quote. The court erred in issuing a protective order barring the defendant from contacting the three others because they are not were not named victims. Quote, in sum, Tina, WW, and MW were not victims of the Section 288.5 offense for which defendant was convicted and could not be included as protected parties under a Section 136.2I1 protective order. The trial court's inclusion of these individuals as protected parties was thus erroneous, close quote. Peel versus Waltz, F087907, 623-25-CA-5th. Prior testimony in a co-defendant's trial is admissible in an SB 1437 evidentiary hearing. SB 1437 bars liability for felony murder where the defendant wasn't the actual killer, didn't aid in the killing, or was, quote, was not a major participant in the underlying felony and acted with reckless indifference to human life, close quote. When an order to show cause OSC issues, there's a hearing where the DA has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the inmate is ineligible for relief, often called a D3 hearing because the relevant section is Penal Code Section 1172.6D3. What evidence is admissible at a D3 hearing? Evidence presented at a prelim is admissible, though Prop 115 hearsay presented at the prelim from an officer's band. Davenport, 95, Calat 5th, 1150. Here's the statute. Quote, the admission of evidence in the hearing shall be governed by the evidence code, except that the court may consider evidence previously admitted at any prior hearing or trial that is admissible under current law, including witness testimony, close quote. Penal Code Section 1172.6D3. In this case, the transcript of testimony at the co-defendant's trial was admitted and relied upon to deny relief. Quote, based on the plain language of the statute, close quote, the Court of Appeal upholds admission of this testimony. Quote, we hold that a trial court may properly admit transcripts from a co-defendant's trial at a petitioner's evidentiary hearing, close quote. Why is this limited to the co-defendant's trial? Why not an unrelated third party's trial or a civil trial? This is nuts. Outrage of the week. Beal versus Ramos. G063231, 623-25-CA 4th Division 3. The last sentencing court controls compassionate release. The defendant was convicted in L.A. and sent to prison. He was later convicted and sentenced to a consecutive prison term on a new case out of Kern County while still serving the L.A. sentence. CDCR sent notice to both counties that he qualified for compassionate release. L.A. said yes, Kern said no. CDCR refused to release the defendant. So the issue is who controls. The default rule is that no matter how many cases a defendant has, he is serving a single total sentence. Quote, when a sentence is imposed on an inmate in multiple cases, there is but one sentence, close quote. Does the compassionate release statute, Penal Code Section 1172.2, permit multiple courts to rule on the issue? Quote, we hold Section 1172.2 requires that a single court resolve an inmate's petition for compassionate release, close quote. But the Court of Appeal takes the position that because this case involved a consecutive sentence, the Kern Court, quote, was the last authorized court to impose a sentence on the petitioner, close quote. And therefore, the Kern Court, quote, was the sentencing court for petitioner's single total sentence for purposes of Section 1172.2 subdivision I, close quote. Compassionate release denied. In re Prissett, F089603, 623-25 CA 5th. No need for the jury to be unanimous on what overt act furthered the conspiracy. A conspiracy requires an agreement to commit a crime and an overt act in furtherance of that agreement. Morante, 20 Cal 4th 403. Does the jury have to be instructed that they must agree on which overt act was committed? The rule on this point turns on whether there are multiple events or only multiple theories. The jury unanimity instructions require, quote, when conviction on a single count could be based on two or more discrete criminal events, close quote, but not, quote, where multiple theories or acts may form the basis of a guilty verdict on one discrete criminal event, close quote. Perez, 21 Cal App 4th, 214 to 223. The Cal Supremes have ruled that the, quote, jury need not agree on a specific overt act as long as it unanimously finds beyond a reasonable doubt that some conspirator committed an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy, close quote, Russo, 25 Cal 4th, 1124 to 1128. The defense here challenges this rule on several grounds, but the Court of Appeal rejects those challenges. Field versus Munoz, A168-292-624-25, CA 1st, Division 5.